Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Drew Maddox, our basketball analyst, CPA coach, All-SEC guard at Vanderbilt, joins us now. What's up, Drew? How are you?
I'm doing great, Brent. I hope you guys are having a great, great Monday.
We are, and University of Tennessee, another couple wins. They are ranked number one again as the poll came out today. And it's funny watching the broadcast at Texas A&M. The broadcaster spent the entire time talking about how Tennessee was getting all they wanted, and that may be true, but the way that they were calling the game made it sound like Tennessee was down by 10. They end up winning by 17, and I'm curious about this part of it, Drew. They are giving up a lot of three-point shots and a lot of open-look three-point shots. In fact, it's like six out of the last eight teams they've played have hit 10 or more threes against them. Is that something to be concerned about? Do they think that they can just outscore everybody so they're not just working as hard on defense? What do you think is going on?
Wow, that's a great analysis there, first, B. That was amazing. But I do think, I think going back to the Vanderbilt game, you heard Rick Barnes talk about a growing concern and a little bit of a slippage with the edge on the defensive end just because they are so efficient and so good on the offensive end. You fall into a false reality that's just always going to carry you night in and night out. Now, that may be true at home, but a lot of nights on the road in the SEC, that's very, very difficult to prove, to be able to do that over and over again. Now, the good news for Tennessee fans is, Brent, their next three games are all at Thompson Bowling Arena. And so when you look at the next three games, there are three games that they should win. And then the big matchup on February 16th against Kentucky is really the game that everybody has circled.
We're about a month away from March Madness now. How many SEC teams do you think would get in if the tournament started today?
I was looking at this today, Mickey. I have six for certain, and I think the ones on the edge would be like an Alabama and a Florida. I just still don't know, and I have to be honest with you guys. I love Kermit Davis, but I'm growing very, very concerned about this Ole Miss team. Losers of five of their last six games. Auburn, popped back up, won the last two games. Ole Miss is slipping. Mississippi State really put it to them the other day at home, and so I'm kind of growing very worried about them as well. But if it ended today, Mickey, I would have six solidly in the field.
You know, it's crazy when you look at the standings, Drew, through eight conference games. You've got 8-0 Tennessee, 7-1 and 7-1, Kentucky and LSU, 6-2 South Carolina, so four above 500. You've got four below 500. Then you've got six teams that are 4-4. So the next couple of weeks should be really entertaining in terms of SEC basketball.
Yeah, and now we got the second half left, and obviously so excited to have the tournament back here in Nashville. So, yeah. I mean, it's really going to be interesting to see teams like, we have Mississippi State in the field today, but can they continue to have that game won? There is absolutely no reason other than their absolute lack of offense in the second half that they don't have a signature win against Kentucky. So what about Florida? What about, Alabama as well? So all of these teams are roughly about the same, but to me, the difference makers would be Auburn and Mississippi State. Yeah. I think those two are just a little bit better than those other 4-4 teams.
Seeing Auburn at home, 11-1, almost unbeatable at home, and they've got some seriously good wins at home, but just one road game. Have you been a part of a team that was that dramatically different based on whether or not you were at home?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, our Vanderbilt teams obviously were very comfortable playing, very confident playing in Memorial Gym. And then, if you got to 500 in the league within the SEC schedule, that was really good for us. But there was years, Brent, yeah, where you would go, two or three and five or six, and really perform poorly on the road. So, it's going to be interesting. They got Florida this week at home, and then this weekend they got that game down in Baton Rouge at LSU. And that game should be really, really a dogfight to see those two teams scrap and claw. But I will say this. We said this 2 weeks ago about Auburn. They stopped defending. And then the last week, they've held their opponents to under 65 points. And that's been the difference in them playing much better.
Drew, from the SEC, where you're saying there might be six bids, to the OVC, where we know there's only one bid, Belmont, Murray State, Jacksonville State, Austin Peay, all tied at the top of the league.
Yeah.
Man, what a fun finish, and they all know what's at stake.
Yeah, it comes down to can you win, especially if you're one of those top seeds, can you win two games? I mean, that's really what it comes down to, Mickey. You know, can you win two games in 48 hours? Because the way the OVC bracket sets up, they go ahead and punch the two top seeds into the semifinal round to reward them for a great regular season. So those teams are really gonna scrap and claw for those positions. I thought Belmont really separated themselves this last week, going on the road to Murray State, going on the road and coming back to beat Austin Peay. Fantastic. They just totally dismantled both of those teams. I think Belmont's just getting stronger and stronger. And in my opinion, I know John Morant's going to go on to be a top five pick, but is anybody in the league playing as good as Dylan Windler? I mean, that guy is playing fantastic basketball, completely took over against Austin Peay, scoring 20 points in a row. He was by far the best player on the floor of both games that I saw this week.
Lipscomb rolling through the A-Sun, too. They beat Liberty by 20 or more. 9-0 now. Casey Alexander, that team, it's basically the same team from last year. They are rolling.
And they got votes today, you know, Brent, for top 25, which was a monumental moment for them. I would not want to play this team if I, you know, got into the March Madness bracket and you saw Lips come across from you, because right now with their elevated RPI and some of their great, great wins, you know, they're going to be a 13, a 12, a higher seed than what we've seen some of our local teams perform at if they find their self into the bracket. But this is a team that's very dangerous. They have Garrison Matthews, who is a great individual scorer. They have Rob Marbury, who can provide some production down in the post play. But I think that the difference to me has really been, the play at the point guard spot and just getting stability for Kenny Cooper out at the point guard spot. I think he's just really, really showed tremendous growth.
Big week for you. Tournament time.
Yeah, it is tournament time. You know, we closed out. We won 12 of our last 13 games. We're playing much better. Tournament here at our school, so we're really, really excited. Wednesday night, we tip up. It's a knockout game against FRA, and we're really excited to start the postseason.
Good. We'll catch you Thursday after that one and in between the other one, and we'll talk some more college basketball.
Awesome, guys. Y'all have a great, great week.